This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Well, I was more like it. I think I told you the sky wasn't falling. I think it was very clear yesterday that the sky was not falling. And so last night was evidence of that. Today on the radio show, let's see, it's Friday, so Jason Smith, assuming he's feeling better, I know he missed yesterday with John, Jason and John, every single day from 11 to 2. Jason Smith, we're expecting Jason to join us in the next segment. Chris Harrington, who was there at FedEx Forum last night and wrote a piece on it, which I urge you to read over at the Daily Memphian. Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. And then we have, we've got Jeffrey's bets. Jeffrey will go through the weekend of college football, which is certainly interesting. I have to say that Ole Miss Arkansas game really intrigues me. I'll be interested to see what Jeffrey has to say about that one. I'm just going to go ahead and guess that he's going to pick Vandy over Auburn, but we shall see. Jeffrey will do that in the second hour. And then Caleb Sewell's going to join us. Caleb Sewell is the sporting director at 901 FC, and they have a big, really have been stunningly consistent as a effective team. And they have now made it. They're the number three seed in the Western Conference and will be hosting Orange County tomorrow at FedEx Forum at 1 p.m., so 901 FC. By the way, they haven't lost at home. They have not lost at home. They have a longer winning streak, Jeff, than you do in Writer Than Right Trivia.
Well, I'm on a, you're
on a losing streak. I've got to say, by the way,
that's not really that impressive.
You took that loss well yesterday because he was so good.
Well, and it was spooky. I knew.
It was also, yes, it was spooky trivia.
Not going to be my forte.
And but anyway, they have not lost at home. I guess what I'm saying is this rivals the longest streaks in Right Than Right Trivia. They have not lost at home since April 20th. And things change over there. Obviously, the roster changes. Tim Howard, you know, departed this year, but things just roll on as 901 FC. And so we'll talk to Caleb Sewell in the second hour as well to preview that a little bit. They're giving away bucket hats. When did bucket hats become the thing, Jeffrey? They gave away bucket hats to the Grizz game Monday. I mean, the home opener was bucket hats as well. Bucket hats.
I guess
bucket hat era.
That's we're living in the bucket hat era.
We heard them
because growing up, like bucket hats were. That's not true. The '90s, they were kind of a thing. Like if you go back and you watch some like '90s movies.
Let me ask you: does anyone ever wear them seriously? Like you put on a baseball cap. Just I don't because I look terrible in a baseball cap. But a lot of people put on a baseball cap just because whatever, they're having a bad hair day. They just wear a baseball cap.
Yeah, it's the classic I didn't shower move.
Bucket hats seem to be I'm wearing a bucket hat, right?
I think some people do wear them as like sun protection. Some people wear now the type of bucket hat that they handed out, to your point, like that's not really offering much. That's more of a fashion statement. The kind of the wider brim bucket hats, you know what I mean?
You were in a new home yesterday for trick-or-treating. Did you get any people?
So we only had two trick-or-treaters show up, and let me tell you what, I loaded my guys up.
I would hope so.
At this point, guys are the only thing. I was like, take it.
What'd you give them?
So we had the M&M Mars or whatever. The M&M Mars, like, variety packs. There's, like, Snickers in there, Milky Way, Twix.
That's quality.
Yeah, and
that's very high quality.
It looked like it was two brothers, and my favorite is I was like, yeah, grab a handful. And like the older brother, like, grabbed it respectfully, got in there.
Younger one.
But the younger was like, sitting there. And finally his brother goes like, you can leave now.
I really feel terrible because I'm the person who now I only turn off. I only like I don't get candy because no one comes. But then if you are if someone does arrive, then it's a problem. So but no one, you know, whatever, you turn off, you don't turn on the light. You know, I'm kind of back from the road. I didn't get any candy and I nearly made it through the day without eating any candy. That's hand up out there. If you made it through Halloween without eating any candy, what percentage do you think made it through Halloween without eating a single piece of candy?
Well, Jeff, you got two right here.
Not a single piece.
Wait,
you had all that candy there?
I know, and I even like brought it upstairs afterwards, but like it was steak night also, and so like I don't know, I was just kind of full.
You didn't have a single piece. Well, the key part was yesterday. No one brought me candy here.
Yeah,
like often there's. Yeah, little thing. I don't know whether it's Ron or Brad or whoever brings candy around.
Pam
that
also have candy
Pam
here.
Pam, so we didn't. There was no candy here. I had no candy. I nearly made it through with no candy. But I went to this Indian food truck. It's across from Fresh Market. Is it White Station or is
yeah?
It,
oh, so the one yeah. That's White Station.
And the gas station. There's
yeah. It's in between Poplar and Park and White. It's on White
really
Station.
Interesting. Good food truck if you're interested in Indian food and not you know whatever not your. Not necessarily what you get at an Indian restaurant. And so
like curries and stuff?
I had wings and then something called samosa chaat. And then, I don't know, some kind of a sandwichy sort of whatever. It's on a...
Sounds delicious.
It was very tasty. And the guy was really nice. And then when I went up, you know, I had to wait 5-7 minutes, whatever. And then we went up to cook, to pick it up. He said, do you eat peanuts? And I said, yeah, I eat peanuts. Of course I eat peanuts. And he said, here, and he handed me two boxes of peanut M&Ms.
All right.
Well, it was very kind.
I mean, honestly, that's my favorite M&M.
And they were boxes. They weren't even the little bags. They
were that's the
boxes,
good stuff.
Like at a movie thing.
Yeah.
And so I had to eat them. But otherwise I would have made it. This close. Congratulations if you made it through Halloween without eating a single piece of candy. It is Friday. We've do got the weekend coming, and we've got... make sure you roll the old clocks back tomorrow, Saturday night. Make sure you do that. And onward we go. Jeffrey, I think I'm just going to say that a frustrated jaw is a scary jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Because
maybe he was motivating himself.
As Chris pointed out, the focus on Ja's comments after the loss, the previous loss to Brooklyn, was kind of silly. The whole thing was, you know, what mattered and what still matters is injuries, losses, rotations. That stuff matters. Unless really Ja is expressing extreme dissatisfaction with the organization. Frustration in the wake of a loss, whatever, a hyper-examination of every word that Ja says is, given that we know that he's a little bit prone to being emotional, is silly. It's just locker room, whatever. You do wonder, though, it very clearly was an expression of frustration, his tone, and the way he reacted to it was to come out and play an absolutely magnificent, absolutely magnificent, spellbinding basketball game. He has had games where he has certainly put up bigger numbers. As Chris wrote in his piece today over the Daily Memphian, which again I urge you to read, I don't know if I've ever seen him more in control of a game, just owning a game. From beginning to end. And by the way, in 29 minutes, because you didn't really need him for more.
Right. He would have played more if the game was more competitive.
He was sensational. Absolutely sensational. And he was absolutely sensational from the very start. In a game that the Grizzlies absolutely, silly to say, if only to calm the waters, absolutely needed to win. Silly to say, maybe five games in. But happily, we get to play highlights because of it. Let's do it.
Let's
do it. Do it. I was a little bit nervous heading into this game. I didn't know how they'd react. And then, obviously, you're down Marcus, and you're down Desmond Bane, and the Bucks are hungry, too.
Are they?
Okay. Giannis was hungry.
Yeah.
Giannis was hungry, too.
I'm not sure what Dame's doing.
Dame, yeah. Zach Edey got in on it early.
Rebounded by Morant. Lobs to the rim for Aldama. It hits the backboard. Edey grabs it, and he jams it with two hands. I don't know how you classify that. That wasn't a shot by Morant. It was an errant pass that went to Edey off the window. Lillard steps into a three. Too strong. Rebound grab.
It was a very clearly alley-oop that was a little too vigorous. Missed Santi. Zach Edey was there. By the way, Zach Edey, career high 24 minutes, 10-8. I'd say a pretty good performance from Zach Edey.
Solid, yes.
Solid. But Ja was the story.
Morant, top of the arc feed for Edey, gets it right back. He has it between the circles, puts it on the floor, down the right side of the paint. Ball fakes to Edey, lays it up and in, draws contact, and he'll get one more. And Lopez, as he often does, voices his displeasure.
Yeah, he was displeased.
To Sean Corbin.
He had kind of a point on that one. It was a bit of a phantom. But Jalen Wells got the start. In the absence of Bane and Marcus Smart, it was Santi and the rookie, Jalen Wells. And he was solid as could be. Here he is.
Wells stops, fires a right wing three, ring it up, put three on the board. The rookies on display in that sequence. Edey with the block. Jalen Wells with a three. Grizzlies up six.
All started on the defensive end. Great decision by Wells. Look, slow down. Let the play develop. Eric saw himself wide open.
I got to say, it is their ability to find real players deep in the draft. That certainly continues. I mean, really right now, who would be leading in the, if you were having a Grizz rookie of the season contest?
I think it's still probably Huff.
Does he count? I don't think he counts.
I don't think
he counts as a rookie. Is it Edey or is it Jalen Wells?
I think it was probably, if you're just on those two,
rookies,
it's Wells, yeah.
Played 35 minutes. No rest for him. Young Sprite. All right, Scottie Pippen came in and continued the havoc.
Morant with it, down to 12 on the shot clock, 6 minutes on the game clock. Beautiful bounce pass to Pippen. Pippen in the lane, a blocking foul on Prince. Pippen gets the hoop, and he'll get one more. What a pocket bounce pass by Ja Morant right there. Through the lane where only Scottie Pippen could get it. Two defenders there, and Pippen coming in, and looked like Prince had his feet on the no-charge zone. 8 on the shot clock. Lillard going to make his move. Dribbling, loses the handle. Pippen picks it up. He's off to the races. Pippen will drive the length of the floor and lay it home. Damian Lillard forgot the basketball. Scottie Pippen with pressure defense. And the Grizzlies push the lead back up to 6. Scottie Pippen has the last 5 for the Grizzlies and 6 in the game.
Yeah, that's a moment. You know, Scottie Pippen picked up in a two-way originally. Embarrassing Dame. And Dame, by the way, who was 1 of 12. Between Jalen Wells and Scottie Pippen, they did a hell of a job locking up Dame, unless you're saying Dame locked up himself.
I mean, he's had a horrible start to the year, but I mean,
that was bad.
I thought last night was going to be a get-right game for Dame. It was far from that.
It was not that. We mentioned Santi got the start. He seems to be on a every other Santi game schedule, and this was a
one-off.
Great Santi. This was an excellent Santi game. Yes, I'm worried about Philadelphia, but this was one of the good ones. Here's Santi.
Grizzlies with the ball on a 5-point lead. Deep left wing, Ja Morant with it. He's got 7 in the first quarter. Morant drives, kicks left corner. Aldama, open look at a three. Ring it up, put three on the board. Wheeling to the right side of the lane and kicking to the left corner. Aldama buries the three.
Yeah, Ja Morant, again, another great decision.
Well, that's the thing, as Elliot points out. It was not just the points. It was the control that he had. First half, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. To get to the triple-double, it took Ja 21 minutes and 28 seconds, the 8th fastest in history. He was an absolute maestro.
It had to be the fastest in Grizzlies history,
and
right?
Eighth fastest in league history.
Yeah.
He was an absolute maestro. He was the conductor, only more, even more spectacular. Here's a couple more from Ja.
And Trent got an open look. Morant drives, drops to Aldama with a beautiful no-look pass. Aldama drops it in the bucket with a two-hand, I guess, drop layup. He didn't dunk it. He didn't grab the rim. Morant to the top of the arc, huff, straightaway three. Too strong. Rebound taken by Laravia as Pippen kept it alive. Out to the right wing, Morant. Tees up a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Ja Morant in double figures with 10. Scottie Pippen Jr. kept it alive, tapping the ball. Laravia.
Ja was 2 of 5 from 3 last night, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice.
He heard you calling out that 16%.
He heard me calling out the 16%. Here's Scottie.
And the Bucks cut the lead to 15, 36-21. Pippen goes by DeLon Wright to the window, lays it up and in, gets fouled. They'll get one more. Little hesitation move, and Scottie Pippen Jr. stealing the show so far. He's got 12. What a move right there. Looking for 13 and looking to push the Grizzlies back up 18.
Let's skip ahead to 12 and 13, these Morant highlights. I just want to revel and marinate in the glory of Ja.
Edie's on the left block, posting up. Morant into the paint, drops it off for Laravia. Got deflected. Morant dives, gets it back. Morant from the seat of his pants, lobs it to the rim.
Oh,
he did not. He did. From the floor, the alley-oop to Santi Aldama for the reverse jam. How in the world did you make that pass, Ja Morant? Happy Jalloween.
That
Morant.
Was
Morant, pump fakes. Now five.
Yeah, let's stop on this one for a moment. It wasn't just an alley-oop from the seat of his pants. It was an alley-oop from the seat of his pants with a ball fake to create the opening to throw the alley-oop from the seat of his pants.
He's special.
It was wizardry. All right, more Ja.
Morant pump fakes, now fires the left corner three. Gary Trent bought it, hook, line, and sinker. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Ja Morant putting on a show here in the second quarter.
Let's go to 15 and 16. I just want to marinate in Ja.
Long rebound. Tap by Clark. Grabbed by Morant. Takes it away from Trent. Morant into the front court. Morant with a nifty dribble. Drops to Jackson, who lays it in with contact. Oh, the joggles are out. Jaren Jackson, the recipient. And Ja is just walking around saying, you can't stop me tonight. And Jaren Jackson Jr. running the floor beautifully. Gets the bucket and the foul.
Just play everyone that has Morant in it.
Torian Prince to the left corner for Gary Trent. Doesn't get the three. Rebounded by Edie to Aldama. Ahead to Morant. Lobs to Aldama. He jams it with two hands. Team basketball. Morant could have launched the three. He lobbed front of the rim, and Aldama dunked it home.
Incredible decision maker.
Motor is no good. The Bucks
just
are reeling right now. He just got the rebound. That's 10. Triple-double for Ja Morant. Around a screen. Into the lane. Lobs for Edie. Flushes it home. And the big man with a big holler, Ja Morant, strutting his way back to the bench. Doc Rivers has seen enough. Grizzlies dominating glass. Morant lobs to Laravia, who sneaks in the back door and dunks home two more. 87-63. Great court vision. And Laravia with a tremendous cut to the bucket. Look, Morant couldn't have put it any more perfectly at the rim.
Hey, this kid is incredible.
It's ridiculous. Giannis has 35 and 11. Morant gets by Jackson, lobs for Aldama. Aldama, an easy two-handed jam. 14 assists. Aldama with 15 points. Aldama just followed that beautifully down the baseline, and Morant watched it the whole time. Great teamwork by those two once again. 107-86, Grizzlies by 21. Morant with a triple-double, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. The miss from the foul line was his first. Morant into the lane. Little running right-hand floater is good. Giannis came back at him. Morant now with 24. Just makes it look easy.
Yeah. It was nuts. Absolutely nuts. And it was just what they needed. John took upon himself to forge that win. He actually said after the game, he said, I'm going to go get us one. And that is what he did. Other notables, nine-man rotation. I mean, they're short last night. Seven in double figures. As I said, you had Edie with 24 minutes, career high for him. You had Wells getting the start, 16 points. And I thought he was solid defensively, 7 rebounds in addition. Like, that kid is coming along. Jake LaRavia had a big bounce-back game. Feisty, too. Feisty Jake LaRavia, 11 points, 10 rebounds. Scottie Pippen, the aforementioned, 16 points. Really good defense on Dame. And Santi, with the every other Santi game, 19 and 9. Giannis was Giannis, 37 points, 17 of 22. That's efficient, Jeffrey. Isn't that efficient?
Indeed, it is.
Efficient. 17 of 22. But that's like all there was. There was nothing else. There was just Giannis. And they played totally even when Giannis was on the floor, and they lost by 23 when he was off. So that is what happened last night. Now the Grizzlies, at 3-3, head to Philadelphia. I'd say, Jeffrey, we probably, when we were doing W's and L's before the season, would have said, I think we said 4-2 at this point, right? Because I think we had them losing to Milwaukee. We didn't know Milwaukee would be this bad, but then we had them winning the last two, and otherwise it's gone according to plan.
Yeah, I'd say they're down one net.
They're down one, and the biggest thing that's happened is the injuries.
Yeah,
right. Like you cannot. That was certainly an impressive bounce back last night, and a reminder of how awesome Ja is. Yeah, I don't feel as good about him as I did at the start of the year, just because Desmond Bane has an oblique.
Yeah,
you know, Paolo Banchero.
I would say at least Desmond's is just a strain.
It's a strain, torn oblique. Paolo, it will be reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. Oblique strains in the NBA, according to Twitter, and Twitter never lies, right?
Never.
Never. For the NBA, average time lost for in-season oblique strains, this is data, this is analytics, 4.2 games, 11.6 days.
I believe Jeff Stotts had that on Twitter.
Yes. So would you take that?
Yeah, I think at this point you have to, right?
You'd take that, you'd accept it.
It's a couple of weeks, forward. Basically. Yeah,
it is funny. I had this thought. I said, well, you know, the chance to develop, you know, Jalen Wells here, and we did that all last year.
Yeah,
we did all that last. Like, we did that last year with Gigi. You know, we did that last year with Vince. We did that. I don't need. Of course, we want more development.
Sure,
in garbage time.
I want more wins
in reduced minutes. And so you feel a little less good about them than I did at the start of the year, literally just because of the injuries. Beyond that, that went a long way last night to soothing the soul.
I think it is a nice taking out of frustration.
It was a nice take, and man, they did. Like, yeah. They just owned that game from beginning to end. So that was a hell of a lot of fun.
And it wasn't even like it's a blowout win because, oh, the Grizzlies just bombed it in from three. I mean, you know, like,
that. No, they just controlled the game.
Yeah.
You got a monster Giannis game, and the Grizzlies controlled the game from beginning to end with a reduced cast. That is an impressive performance. And by the way, we were ripping them yesterday for being the team that was rested, playing a team on the second night of a back-to-back, and submitting a pathetic performance. Well, last night, they were the team on the second night of a back-to-back, playing a team that was rested, and they Brooklyn Nets those Bucks,
yeah,
is what they did, with flair, because Ja was absolutely, absolutely sensational. That butt pass, Chris Harrington assembles at the end of every year, a ranking of the single best moments, the best plays, the most memorable moments of the year. Can we safely say that's going to be top five?
I think yes. That seems likely to me. I mean, how many times have we even seen, like,
I've never seen it.
Exactly. So it had, right?
And again, it wasn't just a fling. It was deliberate. He with a ball fake, sent the Bucks one way with, evidently, at least according to Fish afterwards, it was a little bit of a glance at Santi saying, yo, you know, go, and threw an alley-oop from his ass.
It's unbelievable.
An ass-oop. It was unbelievable. That was really like I was.
First of its kind.
I was hollering from my couch. So there you go. While that was happening, over on Amazon Prime,
whoo boy,
the Jets back in contention.
They're
Jeffrey,
back, baby.
Back and better than ever. 21-13 over the Texans. And everyone's talking about the catch, and everyone, of course, is talking about a famous Giants catch. Odell Beckham made the catch. What'd you think? More impressive, that catch, Jaws butt pass?
That catch was pretty insane. I'm also in the mode now, like, I feel like we're reminded, and we got twice this week, sometimes I just have no idea what a catch is. Like, the fact that George Pickens is not a catch and this is a catch, like, I get it. Like, the
clean.
Shin comes,
it's,
but he got, like, the 1 foot down, and it looks like to me, like, the knee is coming down out of bounds, but, like, it's an insane catch. And also, like,
it was very clearly a catch once you, if the rule is not,
I still don't understand how your, I still don't understand how your shin comes down before your knee.
It did, though.
It did. Freak athleticism. I mean,
you think he was saying, I'm going to get my shin down? I don't think that part
no,
was
No, I think he was just trying to...
Get himself down
correct.
As quickly as possible.
Correct.
And that's what... It wasn't like, oh my God, my knee's
right.
going to lay
down. I think he knew,
like,
hey, I'm up in the
down.
Air, and I'm trying to get body parts down. Like, I think he was trying to get down, and it was insane. Garrett Wilson makes, like... I mean, honestly, I think probably... I lean this catch. It's red. It's in the red zone. It was a firmer throw because Eli's is just kind of throwing it up, and so Odell's able to kind of track it.
They're different. The catch is incredible athleticism, right? That's what it was. The butt pass is.
Your first question I thought was this versus Odell's.
No. I mean the butt pass. This versus the butt pass. Which is the more impressive highlight from last night?
I think I'm going with the catch versus the butt pass, even though the butt pass is spectacular. I don't want to besmirch the butt pass.
One would never want to besmirch.
But the fact that, like, when you do the checklist of all the things Garrett Wilson had to do, like, first he's got to go up and one-hand it on a firm pass. He's got to bring it down. As he's coming down, he has to – not only does he have to maintain control of the football, he's got to get body parts down, and he did enough. Like, I think I'm leaning the catch.
I just think they're sort of different. One is awareness, vision, whatever else.
Sure.
One is pure athleticism, and I think that's how I would delineate. So the Jets are now up to 3 wins, and – they were asking on Unsportsmanlike, of the 3-win teams, Jets, Bengals, Cowboys, Rams, who more likely to make the playoffs?
All right, so we've got to do what actually does matter. Like, let me see schedule. All right, so the Jets have coming up the Colts next Sunday. So they have the mini bye. They have the Cardinals next week. So they still have the mini bye, and then they'll have the Colts on Thursday night. I think that's Thanksgiving. Nah, that's Thursday night football. Then the Seahawks at the Dolphins, at the Jags, Rams, at Bills, Dolphins. All right, so they're going to have to go, they're 3-6 right now, correct? Yes, 3-6.
3-6 right now.
So realistically, what do you think they have to get to? 9? 9-7?
Yeah, to me, the question is, the Rams can literally win their division. They're a game out in their division.
Right.
So they have the clearer path than the Jets. The Jets have a pretty easy schedule, and it is not completely far-fetched. It is not completely far-fetched. Now, the Texans are a dramatically reduced team.
Yeah,
I
thought what last night showed was
but
like...
There are 3 long drives in the second half. Like, they looked... In the second half, they looked kind of like what you wanted the Jets to look like. They can pressure the passer, and did. Like, C.J.
Yeah.
Stroud was...
He was in
was,
hell.
Was an absolute hell. And then, Aaron Rodgers looked good. Like, that was that second half was what the Jets are supposed to look like.
And they were able to block. Now, I do think a huge part of it was when Will Anderson went out, that dramatically improved the Jets' offense. But you can also flip it around. I still have no idea how in 2024 we have guys scoring and dropping the ball before the end zone. Like, it's insane to me that it happens at the frequency that it happens.
What the hell?
Like, I feel like it never happened.
Malachi Corley, yeah. Literally in his first, as a rookie, in his first carry for the New York Jets,
maybe first scores, and last.
scores, and intentionally drops the ball before he crosses the goal line. I guess it's good for him they won. You know,
yes.
It's good for him they won because we've got some blundering in New York recently, in recent last 2 days, and that would have been, I mean, just how the hell do you do that?
I don't understand. It's like, I feel like this never happened until DeSean Jackson started doing it. And now it happens like, I don't know, 2 or 3 times a year. It feels like we see it at a frequency that is way too high.
Anyway, so the Jets get the win, 21-13. They are, I guess we can say, back in it. Oh, by the way, one other thing before we take a break and talk to Jason. The news I read in the Daily Memphian, and I'd seen it out on social media, is that Quail Ridge Golf Course in Bartlett is closing. Saturday will be the last day of play at Quail Ridge. Have you played Quail Ridge?
I have, but not in a long time. Like, I would play it in high school a decent amount.
And
it's a fun layout. I mean, it's like a lot of courses that were built in that time where you kind of have the housing development around it. It's like there's some gimmicky like dog legs and whatnot, but it's a fun place. And they always had great greens. Like, that was always their selling point, was they had really good greens.
Well, for the community, it's too bad, right? I mean, if you've
100%. I think it's the only golf course in Bartlett.
Lots of people have played that course for lots of years. But in the story in the Daily Memphian, people were talking about how there was someone quoted saying that the golf, it's overbuilt. There's too much golf in Memphis for people to make money. So there you go. By the way, when it comes to the Texans, Stephon Diggs, you realize he allowed himself to be bought out of the last 3 years of his contract
with
Houston. And got a little extra money this year.
Yeah.
But then he tears up his knee. He will not be back even by the start of next year. That dude,
I mean, I think he's going to be on like what Odell was on after remember when he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl, and like he was kind of like, well, all right, where's he going to go? I mean, it feels to me like he's going to probably get like a 1-year deal next year somewhere.
That is a lot of money to leave Buffalo, to get out of Buffalo, to get away from Josh Allen. That's an expensive trip to get away from Josh Allen. All right, we got Jason Smith. We got Chris Harrington, who was there at FedEx Forum last night. And we got Jeffrey's picks. And we got a little 901 FC talk. All of that today on the show. Back in a moment, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason, John, every single day from 11 until 2. Jason was ailing yesterday, but I presume he's back. Nice of him to join me today. You got through the day, Jason? Did you have trick-or-treaters? What was the Halloween scene out there as you were recuperating?
We don't get much. I think sounds like I only got a couple of more kids than Jeffrey Wright got in his new home this time around. I let Chris handle it this year. He went out, and he said, since you guys are all we got, I'm going to load you up. And he gave everything that we had, he gave to these 4 trick-or-treaters we got last night. What's weird is because it's so much darker around this time, so it feels like so much later when you get the few that you get now. And I don't know, maybe we need to do a study. I mean, I'm in a decent neighborhood. I will say I got a lot of retirees, and they turn their lights out. They try to,
discourage these people.
Anti trick-or-treater, trick-or-treaters. And so, but listen, trick-or-treating may be down. I don't know. What my wife does is, and I've explained this to you before, she takes Chris to a trunk-or-treat where you just go and you hit everybody's trunk and you come back home and you got a full, but more importantly, safe, big old bundle of candy.
I think
more kids are probably doing that.
I think in certain neighborhoods it's still as abundant as ever, but But yeah, probably. It's down because from the trick-or-treating side, people feel a little, some can feel a little sketchy about it. And then from the, honestly, from the answering the door side, a lot of people don't want to answer the door. Like, whatever, because like, it's going to be a little ghost or goblin out there.
But that too, and COVID to, probably had something to do with that.
You get to 9 or 10 o'clock at night. What's the latest, by the way, that it's appropriate to ring a doorbell?
Cannot be after 9, particularly, again, because it's been dark since about 5.
9 is the cutoff.
By this time. So you're just not going to get a door answered after 9.
You get the older
kids. I would think that's got to be the cutoff in most neighborhoods, yeah.
That's right. All right, so I'm going to get to the Grizz here in a moment, but you are a Chicago Bears fan, and it has been a rough time for the Chicago Bears, and now there's all kinds of noise and unhappiness, literally because of the way that loss, it feels like, unfolded. First, with the decision to hand the ball to the backup center to get a critical touchdown, that did not go well, and then defending the Hail Mary, or not defending the Hail Mary, as it were. How are you? What's your analysis of what's happening there in Chicago?
Well, it's incredibly embarrassing, obviously, because you thought you'd stolen that game. So, you know, at one point you're up on your feet and you're saying, my gosh, this could be a special rookie season for Caleb. So set that to the side. I often like to look for the silver lining in things, especially when you're coming off such a low point. And, I mean, if you're looking at Grizzlies last year, silver lining is Vince and Gigi. And that's a good one because you're hoping those guys can contribute. This could be what we need to get Eberflus fired, right? Because that was such a botched coaching job. And you can blame Tyreek Stevenson, and rightly so, and he apologized. And second-year player is actually going to be pretty good. This was probably something he needed in terms of growth moment because the talent is all over him. He was a starter last year as a rookie. But back to the point. Tyreek was doing it on the play before when they gave up the 13-yard for free pass to help set up the Hail Mary. If they don't give that up, right, Jaden's not getting that ball down there. But the point, he's doing the same thing. How Eberflus, the defensive coordinator coming over from Indianapolis, right, defense is supposed to be his thing, hadn't gotten Tyreek right, hadn't seen this, hadn't gotten his defense set, had 3 timeouts left, Jeff, decided not to call them. The play that you mentioned, running the ball on the goal line when you got Roschon Johnson, who's been effective in those spots for you this year. You're running an offensive lineman because you want to be cute. Hopefully, no matter what happens this season, and I'm saying barring some playoff push where they win a game, Ryan Poles, our general manager, will realize that sticking with Matt Eberflus was the wrong decision. And here's the thing. You've probably seen the reports, but you probably got a feel too. Despite the reports, there'd be a pretty good chance the guy you want, the guy everybody wants, is the offensive coordinator of the line.
Literally, everyone has wanted Ben Johnson for 2 years.
Right.
Now.
And so, so a very long story short, hopefully that embarrassing loss to Washington was enough to convince Ryan Poles that no matter what happens the rest of the season, much like with Justin Fields, you've got to move on from this coach, and particularly where there's a chance. Just like there was a chance to take the quarterback, Caleb Williams, number one, there's a chance to get Ben Johnson as your head coach. Imagine him. He's putting up 50 points a game. He's playing with people. He apparently held out last year from Commanders and what was it, the Chargers, I think, because perhaps he had an eye on the Bears job. You have to go for him. And so that's my fear. Well, if there's any fear, it's that, you know, Eberflus gets this on track.
You're now rooting against the Bears.
And they win. I don't want a lost season. I'm not saying tank, obviously. You want good things for Caleb Williams, but I'm just hoping that that game was enough for our general manager to realize we've got to move. This is a great time to move on, and Ben Johnson needs to be your head coaching candidate number one.
It certainly becomes a very attractive job for Ben Johnson because of the quarterback
situation. And the defense is legit, and you got a quarterback and weapons.
All right, so you weren't here yesterday. What would you have said about the Grizz yesterday that you didn't get a chance to say? And what do you think today after that magnificent performance by Ja Morant?
It's a great response by Ja. I probably would have. Now, here's the thing about yesterday, because I do think some of you guys touched on this. Like when you read Ja's initial frustrations, just the quotes by themselves, I mean, he's worried about the wrong things. Like, just go out there and control what you can. But if you go back, and I think it was Sane who put the audio out that I think I listened to first, is the actual, the questions themselves and how they come down. And with the tone, sure, there's frustration there, but you could also clearly hear a frustration. Some of it you'd already read in the quotes about the amount of time he's playing. And so there was clearly a frustration, too, about the minute situation and not being able to be out there. It sounds like as much as he wants to be. And yes, you've got fans saying things, and that adds to the frustration. I think clearly there was a frustration at both. And so I think listening to it and reading it, I do think it adds some context if you listen to it in terms of the frustration. What's clear is what didn't help him is that he had just been on Twitter, I think, 2 days before, 3 days ago now, talking to Coach Vaughn, whoever the hell he is, this skills coach out of Texas, saying, going back at him. And so everybody that read those quotes could say, man, John's just going at fans. He worried about fans. That's the wrong look. He's clearly frustrated by the organizational decision to hold him back right now as they ramp him up. And, yeah, some of that came out. The key is what Harrington said. The key is the response that you got, particularly after two games in which it looked like the team wasn't responding at all to Taylor Jenkins. Especially, you have this defensive-centric practice, and you get that, you get that effort against Brooklyn. And so it was key last night that the head of the snake, the guy that sets the tone, particularly coming off a frustrating night for him, set the tone last night, goes out there, like you said, just an absolute maestro, and you needed that bounce back. Ja still listening, right? The team responded, and Ja led the way. And so, in the end, you're hoping all this flattens out, right? Less of this, less focusing on what he's saying, more focusing on, what he's doing on the floor. Now, that's on Ja, control what you can control. But the bottom line, the best part is that you got the response you needed, and hopefully it flattens out and gets more consistent.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely magnificent. And I confess, I was less focused on the words one way or another than I was on the rotations and on the
We were just as frustrated with what, Harrington put the numbers out. We were all saying the same things. What do these guys think they're smarter than everybody else? Like, you've got to play your. And so understanding why Ja would be frustrated, we should know because we were. And so, yeah, some of it got, sort of quoted up and point, people, he's going at the fans. But
I don't honestly know what he was saying. I'm not at all clear that he was frustrated. Here's what I think he was frustrated about.
I think born in the franchise's decision to hold them back. I think it was born there. And, yeah, Ja's on Twitter. He responds, he's sensitive. And hopefully that skin gets thicker. You don't have to respond to Coach Vaughn or whoever the hell else is coming at you. But that's the other part of Ja, though, Jeff, that we both know well. We can't be naive here. It also is a motivator for him. That's part of his DNA. And it may never go away. We might not want it to just completely go away. But you have to develop a thicker skin. You can't respond to everybody.
My sense is he was frustrated by getting his ass kicked by Brooklyn and shooting poorly. In the end,
it was the L that he wanted in that game. He didn't get it. He was frustrated, but you're right. That game was frustrating.
Last night was amazing because, again, it was only in 29 minutes. Now, they didn't need him for more than 29 minutes, but last night was magnificent. And that butt pass was like, I don't know, the things we see. Oh, last thing, Jason. I went to Penny's presser yesterday, and so we got a season starting on Monday, and I'm thinking to myself, well, this is a critical season for Penny. And it was interesting because I had a conversation with David Boyd yesterday, our sports editor, and he said, is it really critical? Like, critical or what? Like, critical. And I think it is critical, but David was just sort of playing devil's advocate and says, well, or what? What happens if they muddle through a tournament and they, do we know that it's like win or else? Like,
sure.
It's critical because we want him to do better, but is it like, how would you define why and how it is critical?
David Boyd's great to play devil's advocate. It's what a good editor does. It's critical in the sense that if Penny doesn't make the tournament this year, there's absolutely no momentum. And how is there any point a belief or faith in him? It's the same thing we were saying about Ryan Silverfield at points last season, where how can you keep going? How can you sell excitement? How can you sell that the trajectory is on an upward path if you don't end this thing in some positive way? And Ryan goes out, gets 10 wins, gets the contract extension, and does that. You know, for Penny, it's the same thing. You got to get belief back before you can make a run, and maybe it all can align, but before you can make a run to the tournament that we, you know, through the tournament to a Sweet 16 that we've all said this program needs, now you got to get back. Last year was such a debacle. And so that is the key. And if you don't, Jeff, this is the critical part. What's left to sell? How many people are still going to believe in Penny Hardaway going into year eight? You know, again, we are getting, you know, in terms of tenure here, that will be now past Josh if he gets into year eight. It'll be less than what Josh did in terms of tournament appearances and tournament wins. And so, and listen, Penny's gotten the benefit of the doubt for many reasons. Number one, because of the background that he comes from, right? Didn't grassroots background, you know, not your typical coach here, celebrity coach in that sense, but favorite son of Memphis. And was going to get a longer amount of time probably, but also the fact that he's a Tiger. But again, going into year eight, it's going to be tough to continually justify that or say that he's the right guy for the job if you've only got one tournament win in seven seasons. I'm sorry, Tiger legend or not. And so, yeah, that's why it's critical this year, because to get people back on board, to get faith, you know, in this program back, that Penny Hardaway's the guy for the job, you got to get it back in the tournament. He's assembled a roster that looks like it's going to be good enough defensively to do so. The question is going to be, you know, can they get these offensively? Do they have enough shooting? And is there just is there enough there? Because, again, whether it's, you know, Dane Danger, I mean, you're thin in the front court in terms of scoring. It just seems like there's a lot of pressure on Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty. All that said, there's enough there to win the AAC. You do that, you're back in the tournament, and you can start telling people, yeah, three of the last 4 years, I guess, in the tournament at that point. And so you tell yourself, yeah, we're headed back in an upward trajectory. Come on board. I got this thing right now. As he's been saying, I figured some things out, and we're going to get it back to where it belongs. That's the way it should go.
Glad to have you back, Jason. Thanks very much, man.
Thanks, brother.
Jason Smith. From Jason and John every single day from 11 until 2. You know, I'm really glad. Mostly glad to see him get the win. Glad to see Job be magnificent. And glad that we can put all this little drama stuff, like, which is, it's the close textual analysis of Jaw's comments as if it's like Dostoevsky or something,
right?
You know, like, we know he's emotional, right? Like, and it's part of his genius. So there you go. Chris Harrington was at the game. We'll talk to him coming up next. Then we got Jeffrey. He's racing to get in some last bets here. Not his most prepared effort of the season. Sometimes that can be best. He's going with his first instinct.
Gutting.
And then we got Caleb Sewell from 901 FC, who's going to join us. We got a busy second hour. Before then, I will tell you, it's funny, I was walking through the building and this morning, and someone's spouse has just started working at Leaders Credit Union in Arlington. How about that? Because they're Leaders, which is mostly had a presence in Jackson and is expanding its presence in Memphis. It's a West Tennessee credit union, but it's got this the branch in Bartlett that I've been to, and then the one in Arlington, which is new. And I really do suggest you take a look at it. If you're frustrated with your own financial institution, or if you just need a car loan or a home loan or whatever else, it's a way of putting your toe in the water to decide before you adopt a new financial institution. They're terrific. The technology is terrific. The people are terrific. They're invested in the community. They're always sending us stuff about the latest missive about how they've invested money in local education, or how they're the best credit union, one of the best credit unions in the country or the state to work for, or like they're just good people. And then from a banking perspective, as I've said many times, every penny goes right back into the operation, because this is not a publicly traded company. It's a credit union. And so every penny goes poured right back into better service, better technology, better rates, all of that. It's Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Chris Harrington on the other side, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.